Okay, so we continue. At this point, we have here the Ramchal, after suffering all the Radifis and all the Tzoris from the Misnagdim, and Beikir from the Rabbanim of Venice, who basically that they instigated and wrote letters to all other parts of Europe against the Ramchal, and realizes enough is enough. And therefore he makes his way, as I say, to Amsterdam. Of course, before Amsterdam, we had mentioned already that he had stopped over in Frankfurt, which the great Goyen was over there, Rabbi Yankov Katz, with the Rebbe of Frankfurt, Mechaber des Sefer Shal Tshuvas Shev Yaakov. Rabbi Yankov Katz, this was talking about 1735, we're talking about. And the Mechal did not realize he was actually going right into the lines then, because Rabbi Yankov Katz also was a major mistake. I never met the Ramchal, as we mentioned, but based upon that which he heard and that which was written to him, he accepted it. He was Mekabalid. And therefore, when Ramchal came and introduced himself, so right away him together with his bezin, they threatened to put Ramchal in cherem and so on. They forced the member to sign a document, which was a devastating document against his will, that he admits that everything that he stood for, that it was it was fantasy. He never really has the real Yedias and Kabbalah, and he was an imposter, and everything was not really a true person, and clearly giving in to all the accusations that were against him. And again, his Rebbe Bishai Basson was very upset. How do you sign such a document? Then he gave him the example. He said, if someone puts a gun to your head, either I shoot you or you sign this document. What are you going to do? He says, I have to sign the document, but he told his Rebbe clearly it's untrue, but it was under duress. And so finally he makes his way to Amsterdam, and there they received him a covered gordel mayoid, and they did not accept all of the Lashon Haras, in spite of the fact that they continued to write letters to Amsterdam. But Amsterdam did not accept that, and they pointed him as a Rosh Yeshiva, and they recognized him, and they gave him the proper cover, they accorded him the proper cover that was really due him. They misnagged him again, they still didn't rest. They realized that they have no influence as far as Amsterdam is concerned, okay? So now the Ramchal is in a safe haven, he's away, he's in Amsterdam. However, in Padua there was his yeshiva and the Talmidim. So therefore they decided to change course. They changed course, and now what they're going to do is they're going to attack the Talmidim. The Talmidim were in the yeshiva, because the yeshiva continued itself. Ramchal, before he left, he encouraged them. As a matter of fact, from Amsterdam, he was continued to write letters. He kept the kesher with them, that they should see, continue to learning based upon the Seder that they were taught. The yeshiva should continue maintaining the standards that were when he was still there, and she should not stop, but they should continue to grow even more and more. And, so therefore now they figured, okay, so we have no way of reaching Ramchal, he's too far from here, and he seems to be quite safe at the moment, but we can still try to break him by destroying the yeshiva that he had, and they were attacking the Talmidim. And at the same time also, they went against his Rebbe, Bishai Basson, who was known as a Godel Hador of the time. Nevertheless, they said, look, you're protecting someone like Ramchal, a Talmud, just because he's your Talmud doesn't mean that you should defend someone who is a fraud. And there was a lot of tzar, and there was a lot of pain, and in addition to that, they suspected that although the Ramchal had signed, as he said, a document admitting that everything is false, but he knew that the yeshiva still is continuing with the same derech. So obviously, whatever he signed on the document, but the yeshiva is continuing, is maintaining itself. And matter of fact, they are learning his ksavim, they're learning his manuscripts, and therefore we have to try to break that. At the same time also, what they were worried about, if you remember, part of an agreement that was done is that many of the Ramchal's manuscripts were put into a box and were taken out of his rishus. But now they should have no access to those ksavim. Many, many, hundreds of manuscripts. And they were under the rishus of Rabbi Shai Basson, who had given in to a second party to hold it. They were worried about that secretly that they are taking out documents from the manuscripts from that box, and they are learning from them. So again, going again and basically breaking all the commitments that were made. And therefore they start to storm up the world that we have to try. Again, the mashpia and the influenced to get more support of different rabbonim. And again, was Moshe Chagiz, as we said, this is one of the major. He's really one of us who he started. He was the one who instigated the rabbis of Venice, as Ramchal. He was a very big kanoi. He came originally. He was not even from Europe. He comes from Eretz Yisrael. Comes to raise money for yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And it was in his genetics. You know, anything that smelled of being a follower of Shabtai Tzvi, whether true or not. But right away, if anything smelled it, he would go right away. Becher v'chanis, nothing would stop him. And so he was really the one who really was the catalyst of subsequently of all the things that happened. It's a domino effect, always against Ramchal. So then they took him again into it, and he basically gave it a psak that all the Talmidim Ramchal have a din like minim and apikosim. Clearly, they're heretics. To destroy them completely, their reputation. And they paskin that Abishai Basan should have to give over the box of manuscripts to them, because they will not trust it under his rishus, because he'll be opening it will distribute the ksavim. So this was going on for quite a while. The Talmidim of the Ramchal, they wrote B'derech Eretz, even though the rabbis condemned them and spoke so down and harshly with embarrassment and bezoyedus, but they responded with respect to the Rabbanim and clearing themselves from all the accusations. So false what you're saying about us, it's not true. And they continued extensively to be mevarer that whatever they're doing is only avodas Hashem, and there's nothing to be suspected, and so on and so forth. But Lamaisa and Mistagdim, they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear it. So of course you're going to try to defend yourself. So they believe what they wanted to believe. And Shaya Basan, the Rebbe of the Ramchal, had a lot of tzar, because Poshet, he didn't know what to do, because it didn't lay up. And Ramchal, when he hears that, he hears what's going on. He's now from Amsterdam, you realize. So he himself is away. So he writes a letter. He writes a letter to his Talmidim to Padua from Amsterdam, and he was machazik them. And basically he writes the following. Achim, yedatem kivar, you already know, eze derech ho'olam hayom hazeh. You know the hanogim were living, he says, in a lowly world. He's writing then in the 1700s. Asher koroi setoiv, we're living in a world that anybody who tries to do good, nivzeh v'nimos. He becomes embarrassed, you try to shame him, you throw stones in his path. It's like they say, no good deed, you know, goes unpunished. He says, that's the world we're living in. Anybody called Oise Toiv, as Amchal, anyone who tries to do something good is Nivze Venimos, and Vehoche Nisivo is Hakumos, but those who go on crooked paths, he says, Shomis Hacheches Lohem, they seem to be lucky. Things are going their way. So what's the reason, Tadja? Why does Hashem allow that? Why is it that the righteous people are suffering? And those are going on crooked paths. You see the Matzliach. He says, Ki menasa Hashem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing as Lev Avodov, his loyal servants, HaHochem B'tumam, who go B'tminis, to see if they're going to be able to see how committed they are in their convictions. And therefore, these Nisyonis, these Soros, are basically, said Ramchal, these are tremendous Nisyonis, which is a test from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to see HaYamdu Amu Penei HaMuchomo, be able to survive against the onslaught of those who are going against them. And therefore the Ramchal at the end goes more and more. So basically he signs off, he says, Lochein Bonim, he calls them, his Talmidim. Please, he says, my children, Shimuli, please listen to me. Al Yipor Levavchem. He says, do not fall apart. I'll call Hamanatzim Hamachafim, of those that shame you and those who embarrass you. Don't allow yourself to fall apart. At the same time also, don't fight back. Vegam Hagoshel HaMilchomo Al Tikshu. You know why? Ki kol kilu l'seim, all the curses are nothing. It has no curse in Shemayim. So don't know how. Ki kol kilu l'seim, efes v'toyu nechshevu. He says, just the opposite. V'kirol yoyin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yivorech eschem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless you, v'chol cherem, v'chol nidui, and all the excommunications, and all the charonim, v'chol klolo, he says, mutar lechem, I'm telling you, it's okay, mochu lechem, v'atem chizku v'imtzu, which is take strength, right? Be mechazik yourself, atifu yodechem, do not weaken, do not slack off, mitoris Hashem, vavoidosoi. Kidoi yishlevot es Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks to see what's in your heart, and therefore just have the loyal heart to Hashem. Your kavona should be retoiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nemon l'shalom sochatoiv. You'll be rewarded, he said, when the true day comes. I'll call on boitchim boy, all those I've been talking in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That was one letter that he writes to Talmidim. Just to keep strong, don't fight back, don't worry about the clueless what they're throwing against you. It has no validity, it has no koyach. This is what the Machal writes. Same time he writes a letter to his Rebbe, Rabbi Shai Boson, and he asks his Rebbe that, please, I'm not there, you supervise, see that my Talmidim, that they continue, that the yeshiva continues. See, you're my Rebbe, so please take care of my Talmidim as well. Ramchal asks him, and he says this following. He writes in the middle of the letter, he writes, Hina shemati meis chaverai, Ramchal writes, I heard from my chaverim, hanim soyim bepadova, those that are still in Padua, who hear, I'm talking about the Choshev, Toivse HaTore, Vishoymer Mishmeres Avedis Hashem, those who are really protecting and serving our Kodesh Baruch Hu. I hear Asher, the wolves of the dark are trying to attack the young sheep, meaning the Talmidim. That's what we refer to the rabbis of Venice. Ze'eveyerev, wolves of the dark. They're attacking the Mechinam for nothing. Asher loy kados, wrongly. Ki ato, he says, these soin, he says, these innocent sheep, ma osu, what did they do? And what are they doing? All they're doing is lishkoid ala torev ala voida, kashe kvoy toroso yedeya, as you might already know. And b'chol yedeyim, anybody who knows my Talmidim, your idu will be meyid, will testify the agidu. So why? Why is this happening to them, he says? Be mechazik them. Choshvan, in my opinion, is they themselves don't know. The attackers themselves don't really know. Lomoze hevel yehabelu. Why do involved with such narishkeit, he says. And so on and so forth. And finally he says, ki mebocheyem yevorchu. He said the following, he says. The brochus will be chal on them. And as far as the klolos, he writes as far as the klolos, he says the following, he says, if they mean L'shem Shemayim, the rabbis of Venice, if they mean L'shem Shemayim, and they're cursing L'shem Shemayim, well, they're making a mistake, the klolos will not happen. And because God will forgive the sin that they made a mistake. But that's if they made L'shem Shemayim. They made L'shem Shemayim, but it's still a mistake. They're cursing B'chinam. The curse will not be chal, because God will forgive the chet. But if it's ruach kino, if it's merely jealousy or gaiva, he says, chal dom tovei b'livam, the sword will turn around and go and affect them. All the stones and all the rocks and everything that they're trying to shoot, he says, and trying to hurt the Elohim, the Talmidim, will just turn around and go back. Fire just against them. The kiloloisam aloisham toshivenu, and all the clothes, instead of reaching the target, it'll just turn, it'll boomerang, it'll just fall on their own heads. Malkot kedom, he says, and so on and so forth. And then he says, follows. The other thing is that they wanted, they requested the ksavim, all the ksavim, the ramchal that were in that box, and they're making a lot of service to the Rebbe. Listen, this amazing, amazing thing. It's an unbelievable thing. As far as the box of Sfarim, the Rebbe said, what do I do? Ramchal writes, quote, Hine, in Bishal Tevas HaSfarim, if it's because of the box of the Sfarim, Chol HaSa'al HaGodol HaZeh, this big storm, Yitzave Kvot Torosoi, so go ahead, he says, Yikocheh Esloi, go get it, V'Yisrofen Oleinov, he gives Rishus to burn it, Maman HaSholem. You realize what was, how much treasure is? Ksavim of Ramchal. You know what it is when somebody produces a work and he has to burn it? But Mana Sholem, in order that the Rebbe should be spared tsar, all the pain that's going on, Yisrafenu le'enov. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, who sees what's happening, Yisrafenu Baal Gemulois. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Baal Gemulois. Yishalem Chemo will pay back with wrath, the Nokom, with Nekom le'mish Shigoram Lozeh, and so on. And guess what? That's what happened. What happened is, Rabbi Shai Boson had no choice, and he gives over the Ksavim. Who's the giver of the Ksavim? It's sent to Frankfurt, to the Yankiv Katz, going back again. Yankiv Katz again, the Rebbe of Frankfurt, who forced Ramchal to sign everything against him, to make false admissions. They sent it to him. Again, he was the one who was Mavazed Ramchal B'Tachlos Abizoyim. They sent the Ksavim to him, and Kachave, it happened in Masanoira that whatever was in the box was burnt. What they did is like this. They took a large chelik, they burnt, and another chelik, why they made the decision, I don't know, they divided, they pushed it, they buried it. They buried some, was very, very deep. A kapar now, it's nowhere around in the world anymore, and it's got lost. But lost from the world is treasures and treasures. But we have today, by the way, there are many, many swarms, something like 30, 40 swarms from Machal, bigger ones, a lot of them, is simply because of the copies that Talmidim made for themselves. Tamid made for themselves. So what we have today, which I have, is because Mesillas Yesharim is a problem that we have, because that he wrote in Amsterdam. So they didn't have access to that. So that the Sefer, Mesillas Yesharim, the classics, the classics, they didn't have. But so many manuscripts, and some of them literally they burnt. A small amount is what we have, is simply is because of the copies that were done, and so on and so forth. So in the meantime, this is what we're up to. It is said that three of the Beis Din were all nifted in the same year that they burned those Ksavim. So it was recorded. So Shemaim, as Ramchal said, I give Rishus to do it because Laman HaSholem, but he says, the Chaim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should go upon them. Kachavad, he's saying the same year, he says three were the main ones who were involved in the burning taket, also passed away that year. So this is, again, this is the saga, again, of Ramchal. And as we pointed out, that the Magid of Mizrich, the successor of the Baal Shem Tov, said the world was not yet ready to receive, he says, all of the Kedusha and all of the Torah that Ramchal was ready to reveal. And therefore, the Sultan put in a lot of kochos to see to it that it should not happen. So we go on both sides, we go here to the Derech Hashem. Your addition, actually, what we're going here, just moving a little bit ahead in Perek Chamishi, it says Daf Mem Ches, in your addition. Okay, Daf Mem Ches. Perek Chamishi, actually. Okay, Ramchal goes on to say the title here is basically Bechelke Abriya Umatzveyem Bifrat. Ramchal said, I'd like to discuss some of the components, Chelke Abriya, some of the components of creation, and also in particular the states of the Inyonim, the various Chalokim of the Briya. Ramchal begins and he says, Aleph, Chelke Klal Abriya. The basic components of creation, he says, Shnayim. In other words, Ramchal basically divides the entire created world into broad categories, into two broad categories. And that is, you have, as he says, you have the Chalokim of the general Briya. Klal Briya means the general Briya, the Chalokim, various components. So there are Shnayim. What are the two? Gashmiyim Veruchniyim. You have physical beings, and you have spiritual beings. Spiritual beings. Of course, he's talking about what Hashem created. As far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is concerned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is neither physical nor is he spiritual. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something which is beyond comprehension. He is none of that at all. What we're talking about is the creations. The creation that Hashem created. So basically, in creation, the entire universe. So we have it basically divided up into two parts. You have the physical Chalokim in the Briya, in creation, and you have the Ruchni, the spiritual. And each one of these two categories basically are divided into subcategories. Now the physical has two categories itself. And the Ruchni, the spiritual world, also has two types of categories. So he starts with the physical. Hagashmiyim heim, one chelik he says the physical. The physical beings of the world, heim ha-meugashim u'chushenu, these are things that can be perceived through our senses. In other words, the physical part of creation are tangible. We can perceive it. We can perceive it through our senses. In other words, either we can see it, or if you can't see it, you may hear, or you may smell, or you can taste, or you can feel that. And by the way, even those things in creation that can only be perceived, let's say, by using scientific instruments, but at the end of the day, right, at the end of the day, you're able to put your finger on it. You have to put it. So yes, you may need some instruments, but the fact of being that it's physical, so there is a way of being able to sense it, either through hearing, either through seeing, or so on and so forth. When Mischalkim, and this physical world that we're talking about, that itself, as we said, divides itself up, the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. In other words, this physical world has upper spheres, and then you have lower spheres, as we'll see. We're living now in the lower sphere. That's where Earth is. But in this physical world is also the upper sphere, which is the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. And he goes on to explain. Well, for example, the sun. The sun is part of the physical world, but that's in the Elyonim. That's in the upper sphere. That's part of the physical world. The sun is a physical thing. And so on. You have the clouds and everything else, as he goes on to point out. They're in the upper world. Well, Elyonim heim klau hagironim hashemayimim. In other words, the upper sphere, or the celestial beings, they are comprised, he says, of heavenly bodies. They are comprised basically of heavenly bodies. This refers, let's say, to the stars and the planets. The stars and planets are physical beings. These are physical things. They are far away from us. So these are in the physical, in the upper sphere, the part of the physical world. Hatachtoinim, right? What's the tachtoinim? What's the lower sphere? Again, in the physical world. The tachtoinim, heim klal, mash shebecholol hagalgol atachtim. The lower sphere are comprised of everything which is in the lower sphere, which is dinohorus, land. Land is part of the physical lower sphere. Hamayim, you have the water. Ha'avir, you have the atmosphere. And not only that, in addition to the land and the water, he says, it also includes v'chol mashu bohem min ha-gufim ha-mugoshim, and whatever is within them. For example, in land you also have animals. So that's also part of the physical world. Trees, right? And earth. And then we mentioned mayim, mashu bohem min ha-gufim. What's inside mayim? Well, you have fish, and so on. And in the air, you have birds, you have clouds. All that is part of the physical world. So in the physical world, you have the upper sphere, like we said, the sun and the planets and so on, and the stars. It's all physical, but it's in the upper sphere. And then you have the physical of the lower. That's what we have. It's that land, earth, mayim, and so on, in the atmosphere. Nakam Dom Chal describes what's included in the spiritual realms, the Chelik HaRuchni. HaRuchniyim, he says, as far as the spiritual beings, Hein Nivroyim Mushololim Migeshim, they are created without any physical matter. Spiritual means physical. Without anything, spiritual means nothing physical. Mishulal. Mishulal means it's devoid of anything Gashmizik. Mishulal of anything. Which means, Bilti Mugoshim Mechushenu. You cannot perceive them through our senses. Because it's spiritual. The spiritual, you can't hear it, you can't see it. It's totally, completely spiritual, and therefore it is not be able to proceed through our senses. And quite simply, because we are limited with our physical bodies. We ourselves are physical. And being that we are limited by physical bodies, so we are not able to sense spiritual beings. Some that's totally spiritual, we're not able to sense that. So now, talking about the spiritual world also has two parts. Umischalkim lishnei minim. And basically, they are divided into two species. Or echad, one part of the spiritual world are the neshamas, those are the souls. A neshama has no chelik of physicality in it. The neshama, the souls, all of the souls, they are clearly totally, totally spiritual. And also the hasheni, then you have, what's the second? Because it divides into two. What's the second part of the spiritual world? The Sheni says, these are Nivdolim. Nivdolim means, these are other non-physical beings, which I'll explain later. So one we can relate to, at least we heard of, something called Neshama. Neshama is one of the major points in the spiritual world. Now, basically, but what is the Neshama for? HaNeshamas Heimin Nivroim Ruchnim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, right? Created a class of spiritual beings for a purpose. The Neshama was created, his Atidu Lovoi B'Toy Chaguf. So, on the one hand, the neshama is totally, totally spiritual, but it has a function to connect with the physical. The neshama of Saratzma has nothing to do with physical. It's totally, totally spiritual. However, it's a mean, it's a species, Nivroim, because God created this spiritual being that his attitude, Lovoi B'Toy Guf. Right? The species that was created to be put into a physical Guf. Created to be put into a physical guf. So Mamela created to be put into the physical guf. That's what we have over here, just a second. So now, legavel b'soichoi, so he points out here. Legavel b'soichoi, to be bound. It's bound, the neshama is bound in the guf. Actually, legavel has another meaning. Legavel means to knead. You know, when you make a dough, it's called gibel. When you mix water and flour, in a certain sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I take two opposite, mamish, two opposite, I say two opposite entities. I take a neshama which is totally spiritual, and I take a guf which is totally physical, and I knead them together, I negabble them, I intertwine them, I bind them together. Legabel b'toychoi, right, to bind it in it, ulekasher by bekasher amitz, and to be strongly tied to the guf. And as a result, now that you have a team, you have a team that is shown on the goof, so now the lifol boy pe'ula shoinim bizmanim shoinim, to be able to perform various functions at different times. To be able to do that. So, what we see over here, the truth is that all neshamas, Chibor created neshamas. Now, the types of neshamas are to enter into various bodies. As a body is born, as a goof is born, so now the goof needs a neshama. So, as we are told in all the Sifra HaKabbalah and the Zohar HaKadosh and so on, and that is that when Adam HaRishon was created within him were all the neshamas were contained within the neshama of Adam HaRishon. Now, Adam HaRishon being first man, was first man, which basically was Nichlal on him, including Adam HaRishon, were all the neshamas that Asidim Lehivole, that throughout the generations, for Bias HaMashiach, right? But all the neshamas were created already within Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon had, when we say he had one neshama, it was a neshama that was a neshama Klolis. It was a neshama Klolis, it was a general neshama of any neshama. So any neshama, Till, a person, baby is born, you have a neshama. When was that neshama? The neshama came from the time of Adam Rishon. That was the time it was created. But it was waiting for the time comes to come down into this world. So all the neshamas were created and are contained with his neshama. So therefore, when anybody is born, he receives a part of Adam Rishon's neshama. Whenever a person is born, he basically receives a part of Adam Rishon's neshama. And by the way, that's the meaning when the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says, "Ein ben David bo, Mashiach will not come, at sheyich l'neshama shebeguf." What does it mean, at sheyich l'neshama shebeguf? It means until all the neshamas in the guf are culminated. The guf means referring to the guf of Adam HaRishon. Until all the neshamas that were originally created in the guf of Adam HaRishon, they have to have a time to come down here in this world. So the Ramchal in another cipher, Pischei Chochma, it's called. Pischei Chochma V'das actually discusses it more regarding Adam HaRishon being the source, being the shayrish of all neshamas. Dr. Plummer, what is the purpose of all these neshamas, Lamaisa? The purpose is what? That when the time comes, as a Kodesh Baruch Hu begoyzer, when neshama, which neshama should come down at its particular time, as a Kodesh Baruch Hu is goyzer. Again, coming together to be bound, as we said, to come together. As he points out over here, see again the Loshen. The Loshen, as he says, to be bound right in the goof, again, and the Liksha boy bekesher amis, to be strongly tied to it. Right? And the interesting thing, when we said the neshama is strongly kesher amis, it is in fact the kesher amis, because the truth is the spiritual soul, which is spiritual, is permanently connected to the body, because even death is only temporary, because ultimately the neshama will come back again. So no, it is tied to kesher amitz. It is really a permanent, it is a strong tie, because the emes is, when time comes and a person leaves this world, it's only a temporary situation, and therefore again, the neshama will come back again. As we find out, Ramchal told us, the neshama will come back again and will purify completely the physical body of man. So fine. Now, that's the neshama. The second part he said, Hanivdola, means the other spiritual beings besides neshamas, which is not defining right now exactly, but he says, they are built in utodim legufis klal. But they are not destined for association with bodies. Two spiritual realms, neshamas, and what he calls Nivdolim. The neshamas have a purpose to connect with the physical body. But there's a second component of the world of spirituality that he calls Nivdolim. Nivdolim are spiritual beings created, as we'll soon see. You know what they are? Malochim. Malochim are totally spiritual. But their purpose, Bechlal, has nothing to do with the human body of humans. They have nothing to do with humans. So these are both are part of the spiritual world. One is neshama, totally spiritual. The malachim, the angels, totally spiritual. The neshama, though, is a spiritual component that's going to make a shidduch and it's going to team up with the physical goof. That's what he points out. That the second one, the nidolim, which means the other spiritual beings, they are bilti utodim legufas klal. They are not destined at all to associate, he said, with the body. He says, and the interesting thing is, which means is, so it comes out that the neshama, right? The neshama is, again, the essence of the spiritual world, and Malachim are part of the spiritual world. However, the Neshama is totally different from any other spiritual being, because only the Neshama is able to successfully enter a human body. That's only the Neshama. And the interesting thing is, you know, one of the perushim that you have on Ramchal Baruch Hashem is for Chaim Friedland. Chaim Friedland was a mashgiach in Ponovich. And he points out over there, he said, because you see over here, he points out that only the neshama, he says, has a connection with the physical body, but malachim don't. So what happens when the malachim came to Avraham Avinu? When they come to Avraham Avinu, they came in the surah, he sees men. So what does that mean? Does it mean that the Malachim actually became part of a physical being? So he said, no. He said, when they came to Avraham Avinu, he says, in human form, he says, they were not joined with a body. They were two separate elements that happened just to be coinciding. It's not that the Malachim actually became infused in the human body. Two separate elements side by side, but not actually being intertwined. Because Malachim don't intertwine with the human body. So what Avraham Avinu saw on the outside, he saw, like, it's like putting on a mask. If the person puts on a mask, the mask and the person are not connected. It's just on top of them. The same way, when Avraham Avinu sees the Malachim, which appear like human beings, it's not that the Malachim basically became fused or became connected physically, that they actually somehow went into the human bodies and it became like a mechubah to the... No. It was just an exterior view of the human. That what Avraham Avinu saw. Two separate elements, the Malachim being spiritual beings and the physical being side by side, making it appear that he's seeing Anoshim. But the Malachim themselves did not become connected with any physical component. It's only the Neshama that becomes connected with a physical component. Then it goes further. And again, the spiritual world again is divided into two categories. One of them is Nikra Koiches. One is referred to as forces. And forces, regarding what forces mean, is something we'll be discussed later. But Vasheini Malachim. But the second one that we're talking about is, what we're talking about here is Malachim. So we're talking about here about Malachim, about angels. And by the way, we find out, you think all Malachim are the same? In Malachim themselves, there's so many different. There's so many, we call them all, they're all part of a company called Malachim. It's an umbrella called Malachim. The Gamheim, however, even the angels, he says, Mimailos, Rabois, Vishoinus. The truth is that all Malachim are not the same. He says, and they consist of different Milos, they have different levels. Yeah, different levels. And matter of fact, the Ramchal, going back, referring to a sefer, okay, which is not so popular, it's called Pischei Chochmo V'Das, based upon Chazal Tikkuni Zohar, the Ramchal points out that there are actually 10 groups of Malachim. The ten groups are different madrigas. Not all Malachim are the same, but they're all Malachim. They're all part of what makes up Malachim, but they're not the same. There are 10 groups of Malachim, which basically means to say is that the Malachim themselves have different degrees of spirituality, which is not all Malachim are on the same madriga. You have Malachim that are higher, you have Malachim that are lower. Nevertheless, they're Gevaldi, all Malachim. When we say that a malach is more spiritual than another malach, what do we mean by that? More spiritual means that that malach is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we say that a malach is, quote, relatively speaking, is less spiritual, means he's more distant away. They're all close. Malachim are all close. But when we say a malach is more spiritual, means that he's more closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as we pointed out here, so there, Ramchal says in Sefer, Pischei Chochmo V'Das, that there are 10 groups of malachim. And each group, by the way, and each group of the 10, each group of the 10 themselves, he says, each group of them tell, also have various types of malachim, and further subdivide again into 10 groups. Because it goes endless and endless of groups of malachim upon groups of malachim. That's what he says over here. They are memailois, rabois, vishoinois. The malachim themselves are many. First of all, we say in the davening, the oifanin, the chayis hakodesh, right? So we say, these are all different levels of malachim that we talk about. So Mamela, he says, Vohem, and therefore each group of malachim have their own, right, have their own shlichus. They have their own mission. Vohem chukim tivim. They have their own laws, right, b'mitziusam kifim aliseim. According to their malachim, according to their distinct nature, malachim have their mission. And they have, he said, their objective. They have the job that they have to do. So we see, Lamoshel, you have each level, by the way, they have different properties. Some Elohim have more speed, where they have to go to. Some Elohim have more harshness. All contributing, basically, to the respective natural state. That's what he says. It is the Matzev, the Teva, Hametzius, Madregosom, whatever the Madrega is. So Ad, so much so, and they're so different, Malachim are so much different one from the other, that Nuchali Kleisa Minim Rabin, you know? Malachim are so much different one from the other, we call them like different species. When we think about different species, we talk about different Minim. They're different species, all under the same class, called Malachim. But they appear to be as if it would be from different Minim, as he says. Asher Be'emes Nuchali Kleisa Minim Rabin, Shasug Yechot. We can refer to all of these multiple species, right? But they belong to a single class. Shuasuga Malochi. All of them, Lamaisa, being part of a company called Malochim. So Mamela Ramchal is saying that the variation between the Malochim is so great, different angels, different types, that each group, right, can be called a different species, being part of a general class of Malochim. So on the one hand, so even though he says Malochim are technically, we say, a single species, but Lamai said they are so diverse. Yeah, Malochim are a single species, but they themselves, within themselves, they basically are so diverse that you can subdivide them further into many different species of a general category. So it goes on now and points out, he says, V'ulam. So fine. So what we have over here is, as we say here, either the Nishama is totally spiritual, Malachim are totally spiritual. Malachim were given a task to what? That they should team up. There should be a shidduch between the neshama. The neshama doesn't become physical. It teams up with the body that's physical. But the neshama, b'chol mokim, wherever she is, she's totally spiritual. Harek Yibachim made a shidduch. Made a shidduch between the spiritual and between the physical. And then you have the Malachim, which are also totally, totally spiritual, but no shidduch. There's no shidduch between a Malach and a man. But then there's something in between. There's something in between which is partially physical and partially spiritual. It's not totally physical like a human being. It's not totally spiritual like a malach and like a neshama. It's somewhere in between. What is that? Now take a look. Ve'ulam. However, it says, Ramchal here, Nimtza min echos shel nevroim. He says, there's one type, he says, shel nevroim, of a created being, shehu kemoi emtsoi. It's like an intermediate ben ruchani v'gashmi, between something that's spiritual and something that is physical. In other words, it's neither totally physical, nor is it totally spiritual, he says. V'hayne, he says, what I mean is, shebe'emes einoi murgish mechusheinu. He says, on the one hand, it's not really perceived by our senses in a real sense, the gam at the same time, the gam eina nigbal b'chol givule hageshem hamurgesh v'chusha. It's not bound by all, right? By all the limits, right, of physical matter and its laws. Umesadzeh, he says, being that it is removed from what we call physical, we call it spiritual. But he says shlo bedigduk, it's not really spiritual fully either, not. But he said, for lack of a better term, he says we refer to it as a spiritual being because you can't really perceive it fully as physical. So therefore, we call the mitzadzeh nikra'ohu shlo bedigduk ruchani. Therefore, we loosely refer to it as spiritual. However, avol nivdo minyonoi is a separate nature. It's not l'malach min asuga amarochi. It's not doing to l'malach, even though in many ways it is. He's referring to Shadim. Which is loosely translated demons. Because much more deeper to understand what Shadim is, as we'll soon see. He says, there's something, he says, it's not physical like a human being, it's not spiritual like a malach, as he says. It's a nivdal min yonoi min asuga malochi. It is separated. It is separated, he says, from the class referred to as a malach. Afa pishi is damaloi beza bechinis. Even though in certain ways it's daima to a malach. But it's not. In certain ways, it's daima to a malach. Because we're going to soon see the Gemara Chagiga, which we'll point out on the sheet, you'll see, we can talk a little bit about Shaitan today. That's going to be the topic of the sheet, you'll see. To have a little bit of an idea, because it's an abstract idea, concept here. But the Gemara says in Chagiga, basically, that Shaitan are similar to Malachim in three ways, and also they are similar to human beings in three ways, as we'll soon see. We'll get to that in a moment. So in certain ways, they are doing to Malachim, and they have detailed laws. Yes, you have unique boundaries, right? Which basically, which is reflective of its true mitzvahs. In other words, it really, these things called demons, these things that we call shaitim, it does not follow fully the rules of the physical world. It doesn't follow fully the rules of the spiritual world. It has a shtickle daimit to that, it's a shtickle compared to that. The Nikra, he says, what is it called? You see very clearly, he says it's called Zehamim Hashedi. Is referred to Shadi, Shomina Shadim. That's a species called Shadim. The Ulam, but even they, Gamhu Yischalek, Leprotim Achodim. But they also are subdivided into specific varieties. But Lamai, in other words, just as we said before, they're different Malachim, but they're all under the umbrella of Malachim. Shadim also, there's all different types of Shadim, but they're all under the umbrella of Shadim. That's basically what he's saying. Just like not all Malachim are alike, not all Shadim are alike. By the way, there's some Shadim that are Tamid HaChachomim. There's some Shadim or Paskin Shalos. There's fascinating things about the world of Shadim. And although it's been said that in most cases that the Gedolim years gone by were sort of like Mavatal, the Koyach of Shadim, because we don't have the Koyach to be able, we have the Koyach of Kedusha to be able to fight them off. So also the influence of Shadim is much, much less. But Akoponim, he says, there are so many different ones. They are subdivided. Rulam Gamhu Yischalek, he says, Leprotim Achodim. They also, the Shadim are basically subdivided in many different varieties. But he says each type is part of a whole. The haminim, you have the mina kloli, and you have minim, all the different minim belong to that mina kloli. All the milam mina kloli to them. So this is basically what we have over here. So he has neshama is totally spiritual. Malachim are totally spiritual. A human being is totally physical. You have something in between. He talks about Shadim. So let's take a look, find out a little bit about the fascinating world of Shadim. Everything you wanted to know about Shadim, you're afraid to ask. Okay, what is that? Okay, let's take a look. So first we begin actually with the Gemara Chagiga. Dr. Zion Omer Aleph. Let's take a look. Okay? It's really fascinating thing that you see, you go down later and you see what's found out in the sources regarding Shadim, from Rishonim. So first of all, you have the Gemara. Look at the Gemara says here. Shisha Devarim Nemru B'Shadim. Okay, this is a Chazal. Six things were said about Shadim. Shloisha B'Malach K'Malach HaShores. Shloisha K'Bnei Yodom. You know that? In three ways they resemble Malachim, and in three ways they remember human beings. Well, that's something like Ramchal, like you said, right? They're like in the middle between the spiritual and the physical. Yeshua Hermi says, "Kenufaim kemalach hashoros." They resemble malachim; they have wings. Shadim have wings. In that respect, they are doing to malachim. They toss in misoif hoylam asoif. They can fly from one end of the world to the other instantaneously. No problem. Fly from one end to the world. Kemalach hashoros. The Yehudim Masha Osud Lios Kemalach HaShores. You can predict the future. We'll soon see how they do that. We'll see about that. But this is what the Gemara says. They're able to predict. They know what's going to happen in the future. These are the three things how they resemble. They resemble the Malachim. But on the other hand, they have three features like human beings. They eat and drink like human beings. Again, we'll see in Rishayim. They don't eat exactly the same food. But they need sustenance, as we'll soon see. So they eat and drink. Fascinating problem, they reproduce like human beings. And umesim kinyan, they also die. They don't live forever. Fascinating. Three things like malachim, three things like human beings. So the sefer here, which is called, it's called sefer called Oitzer Ideas, the Bechil Mechel Stern. And be a dying in Eretz Yisrael, and that's what Torah happens to be. Anyway, there's a fascinating machlokes. It's a mind-boggling thing. A woman, and she's a married woman, right? If a married woman has relations, right, out of marriage, she becomes also labala. right? She comes also to live. She says also to live with her husband. What happens if she has relations with a shed? Is he enough of a human being to aser, or is he more spiritual that doesn't have a shame of any maisabia? So we leave it. There's a machlokes a poskim that discusses this. Ubezayurin ma depligi beposkim. There's a machlokes in bias shed oiser isha. Whether right, a woman has relations, a married woman has relations with the shed. The beishmul and even ezel heavy b'shem aram lubim. The pinyan aram lubim was should be as shed any oiser. He says no, there's not sir. Marach Rappaport of Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen, very great Kohen, he holds that she does aser. He does aser her. What's the source of this machloik? What's the foundation of this machloik is? Mishum, you say, why? Because Shebechelko, you Odom, because being that, in three parts, right? He's half man, half human being. Lachain, Yesh, the Svir, Leshoisha, therefore some hold that he asers. Ma'ach, on the other hand, being that he's not fully a human being, therefore there are those who hold Chain or Yeser. So you realize there's a great machlokes apeskim, and the Orzerua. The Orzerua was one of the very early Rishonim. In fact, it was a Rebbe of the Maram of Rottenburg, because down in Rishonim in the Midrash, that says he doesn't aser. Does not aser. But in any case, as you can see, you can understand at least the two opinions, because this, if it's half and half, the question is which is the more dominant chelik, or how do we view the chelik of Bnei Yodom, right? In contrast to the chelik, which is the chelik like Malochim. Okay, now, so let's take a look further. The second item, Rabbeinu Bechaya. Right? Let's look regarding Rabbeinu Bechaya. Rabbeinu Bechaya, of course, one of the great Rishonim, one of the great Perushim, one of the great Perushim that we have on Chumash. And Rabbeinu Bechaya, by the way, was from the Sfarish Poskim who lived in Spain. And Sfarish Mefarshim lived in Spain. Actually, he was Nifter in 1340, just to give a perspective when Rabbeinu Bechaya. He's called Rabbeinu Bechaya Ben Osher. And it's one of the very, very, as we say, very classical Sfarim on Chumash, and deals a lot with Kabbalistic concepts. That makes him different. Deals a lot with Kabbalistic concepts. And it's an encyclopedic work. Rabbeinu Bechaya's encyclopedic work, where basically he gleans from Midrashim, he gleans from all different types of sources, of course going back to his early times that he was. And also, he expounds on the writings of Rabbeinu Yoina, Rabbeinu Yoina of Gerona, and so on. And basically he employs Rashi, Rabbeinu Hananel, the Ibn Ezra, Midrashim, philosophical, Perushim, and so on. And the Tzitzis Yontif wrote a Pirush on one of the Svarim of Rabbeinu Bechaya. Okay, so Rabbeinu Bechaya, we're talking about in the 1300s, late 1200s, as a matter of fact. Rabbeinu Bechaya writes as follows. He writes in Shemois, Perek Beis, Umin ha'yidua, it's yidua, ki ha'shedim shloshe chalokim nechlokim. The shedim themselves are divided, he says, into three parts. Yesh men, some of the shedim, shoichnim ba'avir. They reside in the lift, in the air. Shoichnim ba'avir ba'galgalei ha'yisoidis. In other words, in the planets. The planets, whether they're stars and the stars around the moon and so on. Behem ha'machlimim esodim balayla. And they cause people to dream, certain dreams. They have influence on the dreams of people. Okay, that's one category of shaydim. V'yesh mehem, and then there are others, shaykhdim b'kribenu, they live amongst us. Interesting. So there's some that are distant from us, removed from us, but they cause people to dream. Because why? Because they basically dwell on the planets. And then there are those that live amongst us, v'yesh mehem shaykhdim b'toyim asyam, and some in the depths of the sea. Interesting. Underwater. V'mole nitnalem reshus lalois, had they been given reshus to come up, to emerge, guess what? They destroy the world. So they have no wish, they have to remain underwater. So right away here, you see right away they have three different categories. Now, when we mentioned the Gemara says that one of the aspects that fishes have, they know how to predict the future. How do they know that? How do you know? They're not Nevi'im, they're not prophets. So let's take a look. The Gemara, Amru, number three. The Gemara says, the Yoidim, that they know Masha Osagliyos. Right? They know that which is destined to happen. So the Ramban explains that now. The Ramban of Ayikra Perigud, Shashedim Shoimim, it's not on themselves. They hear what's going to happen. Where do they hear it from? Where do they hear it from? Shashedim Shoimim Ashos Lilis, because when being that they fly all over the universe, so Mele, they hear the secrets that are, right, that are written in the planets, that are ingrained in the planets, because you know planets have influence in what is to come. Right? right? From the Sarim, from the ministers, over the Mazalos, Hashoich Nimavir. So we find out. So this is Ramban. So here. Now, do we have these various features? So in order to save time here, I want to show you here. As far as we had in the Gemara, as mentioned, they also eat. That's, we said these are features like human beings. They eat. So what do you think they eat? What do you think they eat? So take a look over here. Oichel Mishayzen Kibinei Odom. Number 5 on top. Look on top. Perish Abinu B'chai. You go back to Abinu B'chai. And Vayikra Periyud. Ein HaKavono Bozem Mozoin Ho'odom. It does not mean they're eating human food. Let's understand something. If you take a look for a moment, number 4, look in the bottom, on the right side, in the bottom, I wrote down 2 lines, that man, as you do, make sure we discuss that man is created out of 4 Yesodis, it's 4 elements. The ingredients of man is Eish, Ruach, Ofer, and Mayim. There's Eish, there's a Korach of Eish within man, there's Ruach, which is wind, which is air, Ofer, right? And Mayim. Eish Ofer. Shadim only have 2 of the 4 Yesodis, the spiritual ones, the Eish and the Ruach. They don't have the Ofer. And they don't have to take a look. Say Rabbi Bechai, Eir Kavona B'zeh Mos, going back number 5 on top. The Kavona is not that they eat human food. Ki Odom Hamur Ki Marba Yesodis. Man, basically. Man, whose components of man consists of 4 Yesodis, is a goof gas. Is a tangible goof. It's a goof gas mortgage. It's a goof that you can feel, you can perceive. So the food is also a tangible food. It's a physical, really heavy food. It's a thick, tangible food. It's a thin, right? It's a thin layer of a goof. So the mezoinus is gamken kiyotzebehem. V'achilosom shtiyosom hu reyach o eish, whatever that means. They eat the reyach of eish, and they have to have moisture of water, because the eish destroys any moisture that they might have, because that's what they eat, reyach or eish. So they have to have lachus hamayim, they have to have moisture of water. Ki chelik or eish shabem, hu meyabish, it dries up the chelik or ruach shabem, the chelik or ruach, tesorech lahachzer haleichus ahu shavid memenu. Fine. Okay, so b'kitzer. So even though they have human components, but it's not exactly like a human being, you find out by that. Concerning, as we said, there's a shed, who's a Talmud Chochom? Let's take a look at that. The next one. Shed Shoma Halacha Chachomim. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us there was a shed by the name Yosef Shida. His name was Yosef. Joseph the Shed. Yosef Shida. Yosha Bebeis HaMedrash, the Gemara says, he would sit, imagine sitting next to him, Machavrusa here. So Yosha Bebeis HaMedrash, Vomel Chachom Halachas. And he would say, Halacha Tere Chachomim. And the Gemara Ne'erevin tells us, Mem Gimel, listen to the fascinating Gemara. Hani Shef Shematzah, by the way, you know the Shef Shematzah, famous Lemdish Sefer from the Kses HaChoshen, here's where the word comes from, Shef Shematzah, these 7 halachas. Listen, Shef Shematzah. Hani Shef Shematzah, Bisamrin, Bisafri, Bishabata, 7 halachas were said, on the Moshabbos morning it was said in front of Rav Chisda. 7 halachas were said before Rav Chisda Shabbos morning. Bisura, he said, Bisura, towards the evening, Shabbos evening, the same 7 halachas were said over by the same person. It's impossible physically in one day to travel. If you're Shabbos morning, you see, in Surah, you can't be in Pumbedisa in the evening. It was a shed. It was a shed that said over all of these halachas. The Gemara tells us that the 7 halachas that were said Shabbos morning in Surah and Shabbos evening or, you know, Kame de Rabbi be Pumbedisa, Avsha Merchak bein Surah le Pumbedisa is more than Mahalach Yemechot. How is it possible to be able to be in one day? Man Amrinu, the Gemara says, who said it? Dilma Yosef Shida. Possibly this was Yosef the Shed. He doesn't keep Shabbos. Not a Shem Shabbos, you know. Lament the Shabbos, the Gemara says, not a Shem Shabbos. So here you see. So right away you see there's all different types of Shedim. They're not all the same. Not the same, cut out from the same dough, but nevertheless, they are shedim of the, under the umbrella called shedim. So listen, we're going to conclude here. The Moirig Moirig Maisa, which is brought down the Sefer Kava Yosha. Kava Yosha, sometimes we feature it quite a bit in the Chumash here. The Kava Yosha basically, it was nipped in the year 1670. In the year 1670, his name was Tzvi Hersh Koidenover. His father was a great goyim known as Aaron Shmuel Koyden of Northern Marshag, who wrote a sefer called Birchas HaZevach on all Seder Kochim. Great, great goyim. And Sefer Kala Yosha is a tremendous Musa sefer. And there used to be tkufis that b'chol or Yisrael, that between Menchemar and Vesol, Anoshim, Noshim, V'taf, the Gabbai, the Beis Medrash, would learn Barabim, the Sefer Kavayosha. It's the Sefer Musar. I mentioned once, my father mentioned to me that in Europe, even in his day, they're talking about, you know, in the 30s and the 20s, people would learn Sefer Kavayosha. But it's a Sefer. I don't think it's cut out for today's times, because he's a Mechaber who gives Musar fire and brimstone. This is the way it is. A different type of Magidim, different way of giving Musar. This is a Sefer fire, brings down. This is really something that's so intimidating that you say to yourself, it's terrifying. But Lamaisa, this is the thing which it brings down from various sources. Again, the Sefer Kavayosha, the Talmid about Shem Tov would learn it over and over again. Some made a see him over 100 times. The Noam Elimelech continued chazering it. The Kohen Samagid of Yisrael would continue learning it. The Prima Gordon would continue learning it. Great Gedoyle Yisrael. Again, the Sefer Kavayosha is called Kavayosha. There's 102 prokim, Kav. Kuf Beis. And Kav Hayosha, remember, rearrange the letters, is Hirsch. His name was Tzvi Hirsch. So Hayosha, rearrange it. That's cool. And, right? That's the Kuf Beis that we have over here. The Sefer Kav Hayosha. And he could really give Musa himself, was imprisoned, had a lot of sorrows in his life, and so on. But it was translated into Yiddish. Was translated into Yiddish, and that was something that people spoke, so should be able to be accessible, you know, to be able to be accessible to everyone. So we go over here, Rabbi Salas Tekoi. By the way, Hayosha is Hirsch, right? And his first name was Tzvi. Well, Tzvi is Gematria Kav. So it's two things. Kuf based Prokim, and it's called Tzvi. So Kav Hayosha, Tzvi Hirsch. That's what it is. All right, no coincidence. That's what it was. All right, let's take a look here, number 7, right in the middle there. The Kavayosha we have here, Hevi Maisa Noira. Mitzayrov Echod, a smith, a blacksmith, who is a smith. Bishnas Tov Memal, it's a typographical mistake. The Kavayosha himself wasn't alive anymore at that date. The Mem is actually, it should probably read Bishnas Tov Aleph. Tov Aleph. So we'll soon see. Shenoso, as we'll see, it's regarding itself a smith that married a female shed. He isn't this. For Hoyeloi Boni Mimena, and had children. It's an unbelievable story. And here's the Kitzur Advarim. Kibishnas, now Tov Memalev is 1681. But again, but it's a mistake. It's not Tov Memalev. It's really, it should be like Tov Aleph, which is 1641. Okay, now, Le'elef Hashishi. Okay, within in the year 5000. Okay, Hoya Bayis Echo. Listen to this. Hoya Bayis Echo. He says, "Shall Avonim Oymed Bechoyv Hagoru Bekilu Kedoshim Posen." Posen. Posen. Years later, Bekivager was a rav in Posen. So there was a bayis of Avonim made out of stones in the city of Posen. Asha Hamartev B'Toch Habayis. The cellar in that house was Yisogu Umesuger. Locked. Locked, double locked. For Hoya Yochel Leilach Shum Odom L'Techa Martiv. Nobody was able to enter that cellar. No one. Vahi Hayoim. One day Holach L'Shom Bocher Echot L'Techa Martiv. Bocher enters, goes into the cellar. Ukemoy Revi Yishah. 15 minutes later, quarter of an hour later, Motzauhu Anche Abayis L'Ha Bocher Shoychev Al Mifton Hamartiv Mes. They found he's dead. 15 minutes later, he enters that. No one is able to enter it. He entered it. 15 minutes later, they find him on the threshold of that. They find that he's dead. They did not know the Siba, why he died. And after the Misa of the Bocher, he says, Hanal Kemoshteshon, it was 2 years later, Bo Hachitzoinim, he brings over here, Bo Hachitzoinim L'Toich. Right? The Toich Shobalabayis. The Toich is, he says, he condemns in Yiddish, Hafir Hois. Fir Hois is like the Fur House. It's like in the lobby or like in the front. Right? In the front area of the house. Chitzon with the Chitzonim. Chitzonim talk about Shadim. Shadim came into that house. Ukeshoya, Anche Abai, they didn't realize that they were invaded. The family in the house did not realize they were invaded by the Shadim. What happened is, Keshoya, Anche Abai's Machina Mozin, Levash Lalakira, when they're preparing food to cook on the oven, on the stove, Hoyemoitzim Bikdeiro is Toichamachel offer wafer. So in the food they found dust and ashes. Actually, it wasn't fit to be eaten. But after that, so once they got a foot in, then they came invaded more and more. Little by little, they kept taking over the house. So after that, became more powerful. The beginning was the fuel hose. Right in the beginning. Then they go mamsh into the deer. So doim shama bnei yodom. For yelochim akelim amenoyus. Shahoy becheder tluim lanoy. When all the kelim that were hanging for beauty, For yezorkim is akelim amenoyus alois. And we threw them down. Like you see in the haunted houses, you hear the stories, the creaking, right? The things started shaking. And stuff. Here they saw the stuff that mamsh falling down on the ground. But the mice didn't hurt anybody. They confused them. Then they invaded more. Every room, the pachad. People saw this is really something frightening. The fear came upon the people adoring the bais by force. They had to leave. Lazar this abayis, the rosh mishom. Leave it. They had to evacuate. For horse yololo gidoylo mamish was in. It was like a morning in the city of Pozen. This Yoatzu Hakol Yachel is Vakech, so they got together. Echu Malasois. So what did they do? So they went to the Galach. They filled the Galach. You know, they thought maybe there's some forces of Tumah. The Galach, maybe he knows some Kishiv. They went to the Galach. Maybe the Galach knows how to get rid of them. So they went to the Koimrim. And he gives them the name the way they call them. For Yachel Lasa, the Galach Guchim Gushivis. They couldn't do anything. For Yachel Lasa Shimpul, they couldn't do anything. Like Galach is a Chitzoinim. What they do? Achekach Shochu. Shliach miyuchir echad habal shem hamefusim bedoyer hanikro rebiyo bal shem. Not to be confused with Bal Shem Tov. It's way before the Bal Shem Tov. The name Bal Shem Tov that we call Bal Shem Tov is Bal Shem Tov. But the title Bal Shem was already Yechidim had the title Bal Shem when they were known that they had a strong koich in Kabbalah. They knew how to be bishtamis with Shemis and to do tremendous things with that. And so rebiyo Bal Shem, he was the first rebiyo Bal Shem. And as a matter of fact, we're talking about in the mid-1600s. Rabbi Yehuda Bal Shem. So Rabbi Yehuda Bal Shem was known as a very big Balmoifis. Matter of fact, the Friedrich Lubavitch Rebbe, Rabbi Rayatz, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, by the way, wrote memoirs. Not everybody knows about that. Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, the Friedrich Lubavitch Rebbe, he wrote memoirs. And there he writes that Rabbi Yehuda Bal Shem's father, his name was Rabbi Yosef, he was the Talmud of the Lavush. He says, and they moved to Zamush, which is in Poland, and he had a son, Yoel. Yoel learned 5 years, was a Talmud of the Bach, that was Toyus Anigla. Toyus Anigla learned Saka from the Bach. And later at the age of 20, started learning Kabbalah, and so on and so forth. And who is learning Kabbalah from? From someone called Rabbi Yoel Bal Shem. So Rabbi Yoel Bal Shem is the Rebbe of Rabbi Yoel Bal Shem. So here, by the way, and Rabbi Yoel Bal Shem had a son who was a Talmud of the Taz. You realize what Kufa we're talking about. It's a Talmud of the Taz. So anyway, so he says, the Kavayosha says, Rabbi Yoel Bal Shem was a famous Bar Moifis. And here you're dealing with the Shadim. How do you get rid of Shadim? You need a Bar Moifis. You need somebody great man. So he sent the Shliach Miuchet to Rabbi Yoel Bal Shem. Hamafusim Bedoyer, Mikil Kadesh Zamush. You need take it as you bore Harav. But Reino Yoel, Hischila Hashbiyam B'Shemes Hakdoshim. He right away, he took off the heavy artillery, all the Shemes Hakdoshim, and he started doing Mashbiyah, put them under oath, all the Shadim. So Yodiyoloi Me'ezeh Sibah and Boy Machitzon Lobayzeh. What brings you here? They should reveal to him. As you hear, because after all, this belongs to private people. What right do you have? Who gave you the Rishus Man HaShemayim to invade this deer? As you be dealing with the Yodom. That's where they belong, in a midbar. They have no right to invade a private deer. So he was mashbiya them to find to reveal the secret, what gave them reshus to come to invade this private house. The Heshivu. And they answered. And this is a kisser of the actual words of the Kavayosha. Kavayosha points out that you hear a voice, but you couldn't see the shed. You couldn't see him. But you hear the voice coming out. He was Mashbiya then. He was Mashbiya then that they're forced to reveal to him, where's the Sibah? Where do you belong here? How do you come here? And he answered, Shabbai Sazer Shaykh Lahem, it's our house. It belongs to us. Lachluzin. Why? The Sipru. Kayagor Babai is there, who used to live in his house, was Sayrif, a smith. A smith, Shenosa Isha Shido, a Shadis. He married a female Shad, the Holy Memeno Bonin. Guess what? He also had another wife, a regular wife. Movadze Holy Gamkin Isha Nisephis, Mibne Yodom. So now the Ishtoi, the real wife, not the shed, not the female shed. The Ishta Sipra Rab Sheftel. Who's Rab Sheftel? Rabbi Yisai, the Shloa Kodesh, had a son, Rab Sheftel. Rab Sheftel was an Odom Godel Meyoid, who wrote a sefer called Vovei Huamudim. And this is one of the kvarim, by the way, the Shloa Kodesh, you know, where is he buried? In Tveria. If you go to Kever Rambam in Tveria, not far from there, you have the Kever of the Shloa Kodesh. Shloa Kodesh. And Shloa Kodesh's son was of Sheftel, and of Sheftel, his Kever is in Vienna. And it's identified. Anyway, you're talking about here in the 1600s. The wife of this smith went to complain to Rav Sheftel, my husband has a psashaychus here with another woman. So Rav Sheftel should implore that he should leave her. They did the shaydim that he made contact with this smith, said, unless you give us a matona, we're not going to leave unless you give us a matona. So the matona was, hivtiach lem samat, if the seller belongs to you. So that's what the shaydim had an achiza, and that bocher went in there, he invaded the property of the shaydim. That's why he died. Hivtiach lem samat of shalabayis, venosu samat of shalabayis. Fine. Now comes Chmelnytsky pogroms, 1648. From Shtas Tach, 1648, right till Shnas, then you have 1650, 16. And the words of these pogroms, this man, the smith, dies. He dies, and the Yoshim, his Yoshim dies. Only left, you know which Yoshim? The Yoshim from the shed. the Yoshim that he had from the shed, from the female shed. And this is what they're telling to the old Baal Shem. You know why we're in the house? We're the Yoshim, he says. We're the legal, we're the heirs. We are the Yoshim, he said. The smith was our father. He had married the shed, the female shed. This was the time of the Chitzoyinim. Yeshivu ha-noshim ha-dorim babayis. And those who lived in the house, otskim ha-tayne, we bought it. They said like this, she-anachnu be-kesef molei koninu ha-bayis ben-atsoyiv. And from his Yoshim, when they were still alive. We bought, not it was him, but the Yoshim no longer alive, but we bought it from the Yoshim when they were alive. Va-atem ha-chitzoyinim b'chlal, you're not Yoshim. Because you're not, the halakha of Yerusha is given to human beings, you're not zera human being. So b'chlal you don't have a din of Yoshim, not zera b'ni-yodom. And the Chlal, he was forced to live with the so-called female shed because she had a power over him. He forced him. The whole thing was he's under duress. So the Yotza Psak Ma Bezdin. So the Bezdin Basel, so now the Ma'adim Tzayi between the Shedim. Who owns the house? The Shedim or those who bought it? The Psak of the Bezdin was She'ein Achitzoinim Shum Dinu Dvorim V'lo Shum Chelik Ba'bayis. Because they belong in a midbar, the Lord Yishuv. Once the Psak came, so Yoel Baal Shem took the Koich of the Shemus HaKadoshim, Va'acha Psak, Yivia HaRav Rebbeinu Yoel Baal Shem, Lachetzoinim, Shehuchuchu L'tzeis Ben Abayis, and even from the cellar, and they were gone forever. That's Rabbi Yisai. Not a Yoshev. No, that is a stupid idea. How things work around.